Hello, and welcome to Bastards and Broken Things, a House of the Dragon podcast brought to you by, of course, Fancritical. And this is a little new thing we're doing. So each week, we, of course, will be bringing you an in-depth review of each episode of House of the Dragon with book canon and any other references to A Song of Ice and Fire. But this podcast is for all you folks out there who just need to hear our thoughts on the show immediately. Yes, I know. If you're one of those people that, like me, you know, quickly
gagging
tries to
for
find
it.
Any sort
just
of...
gagging for it.
Yeah, just gagging, gas right, gagging for any sort of take on an episode that I've just seen, this is for you. Myself and my squire, Sir Gareth, will be here weekly letting you know our hot take.
Mm.
Gareth, hot take.
Yep, yeah, that's good.
Targaryens. Targaryens, isn't it?
Well, it's also hot D, isn't it? That's what people are calling it.
Yeah. Also, hot pie. He was good.
He was good.
So
he was good.
Don't, you know,
good on
just
him.
Saying, hot pie.
I forgot we were called Bastards and Broken Things. It's been a while. It's been a while since we've been that.
It has been a while. And basically, this is a quick hot take to tell you guys what we liked about the episode, what we didn't like, what we're going to delve into more later in the week. But first of all, Sir Gareth, isn't it lovely, in a way, being back in Westeros, eh? Isn't it nice?
It is lovely.
In a brutal, horrible, you know, disgusting, but cool way, you know?
Yeah.
You know?
Well, you know, the Red Keep's looking like well-maintained now.
Oh, yeah.
Looks good.
Yeah, it's looking good.
No, it was lovely. It was lovely to be back. I liked the, you know, the occasional kind of subtle Game of Thrones song, theme tune thrown in there.
Dawadi's
old magic.
He's fucking going for it. Yeah.
You know, without it, I've got to say, I was disappointed at the actual intro music. Like,
yeah.
It wasn't really a thing.
Yeah. Do you think that, and this is common with shows, the pilot episodes, it's quite common that they will have a different title sequence to the second episode because the pilot sometimes doesn't even have a title. You know what I mean? And then in the second episode of a show, you will see the title. I'm hoping that there's a bit more fanfare with the second episode. I hope I don't need something like Game of Thrones, you know, where it's that really cool animated map. I don't necessarily need that, but I need something, Gareth, and I need...
Give us a dragon.
I need more of a...
Put dragon in there.
Yeah, I need a bit of a punch to it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's a good point, Gareth. Hot take number one.
Hot take one.
Disappointing... title sequence.
Should we compile a list of hot takes and just kind of go over them at the end?
Yeah. Here's hot take two, Gareth. I felt tonally that it felt like early season Game of Thrones, which is very good. I've put that in my notes. Very good thing.
By tonally, do you mean in terms of like the narrative tone, like the fact that it was very political?
Yeah, setting up the political nuance that's going on.
Yep.
But also tonally in terms of violence, set design, sex position. We're back to sex position, baby. Oh, yeah. So much of this stuff just took me back to season one, season two, King's Landing stuff. Mm. And getting to know these characters is going to be very, very interesting, especially as we know this takes place over... you know, a decade or so. We know there's the young Rhaenyra, but we know Emma Darcy's playing the older Rhaenyra. So it's going to be interesting to see these shifts.
I was a bit confused by young Rhaenyra's age because, like, she's supposed to be, like, nine?
At this point, okay, so you're testing my knowledge here,
well,
Gareth,
no, because it's this said point, it's now been 9 years.
A decade.
Since...
Yes, from the council, yes, from the council of... where they decided who should be the next heir, and since Jaehaerys died, so Viserys has been ruling for basically a decade at this point.
And I just thought, actually, maybe not, because the reason that I thought that is that Emma is pregnant at that. But
she is.
She was pregnant several times. So,
so Gareth, this actually takes. So, yeah, that council happens in, I'm going to guess, 104 AC after Aegon's conquest. And I believe Jaehaerys rules for about another 4 or 5 years until he passes, and then Viserys inherits the throne. So she should be about 14, 15, sort of at this age, okay, at this point in the story.
That makes more sense.
So, yeah. Yeah, it's difficult to get the knowledge, you know, the numbers right, because it's quite tricky here. But I did like the little intro where they showed the council. I thought that was cool. And I talked about that in the preview podcast, this big council that happened at Harrenhal to decide how the heir should be passed down and why it shouldn't go to a woman, in their opinion, which is how Viserys inherits the throne. But it was cool seeing that. And then it said like 172 years before, you know, the Mad King, and Daenerys is born. So they're already doing that linkage between Rhaenyra and Dany.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Which I thought was quite cool. I like that.
You reckon that's
like
what
that
they meant?
Little touch.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Well, yeah, she's, you know, yeah, she's a young queen in so much as she's a very strong female character. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And something that Dany is definitely modeled on.
Yeah.
Throughout the Targaryen history. So that's really interesting. I'll tell you what I did love. Bloody hot take number three. I bloody loved the opening shot with Rhaenyra riding Cyrax over, King's Landing and landing at the dragon Colosseum thing. That was fucking awesome.
The dragon pit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was good. What I really like, if maybe we can broaden hot take number three to dragons in general.
Mm.
I really like are all unique looking, like,
yeah boy,
it was a bit like Game of Thrones dragons. They just had a sort of copy paste job going on with the dragons. You couldn't tell them apart.
Well, just because Drogon was fucking massive, but you get more of a sense of it. You're all right about that. So you've got Cyrax, who is a young dragon, that Rhaenyra's dragon. So what's interesting, and we'll get more into this in the in-depth thing, but like when a Targaryen is born of royal Targaryen descent, they are a dragon's egg is placed in the crib with them so that the dragon hatches and they have that bond from birth, both of them, which is really cool. So Rhaenyra's dragon's called Cyrax, very young still, growing, and you see Daemon's later on, the bloodworm.
Yeah.
And it's a very famous dragon because it's long and gangly and red, and that's how it gets nicknamed the bloodworm. So it's pretty cool how they've all got these interesting characteristics already. You know what I mean? And you are right. They're making the dragons, and this is what we talked about in the preview podcast. They've got to make the dragons characters. They've got to make us care about these dragons. You know what I mean?
Right. Yeah.
But yeah, I thought the CGI was a bit ropey. What do you reckon?
I wasn't blown away by it. And I did think to myself, I was like, maybe this is because I had sort of higher expectations. But I thought, even with like Cyrax, his little legs as he was flying looked a bit weird. It was like it looked like a little man in a suit, in a dragon suit.
I think when they're flying, it looks good. I think when they're sort of like patting them and shit, I'm just a bit like...
Have a look at his little legs next time.
All right, I'll look at his little legs. You've got little legs.
I've got quite powerful legs, actually. But
you're a little fella, aren't you?
That's the average height. But I'll tell you what, if I was in a dragon suit, I would look very similar to Cyrax. So, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, it wasn't incredible. Maybe dragons are just fucking hard to do because nobody's nailed it, have they? Let's be fair.
No. I think it's good. I just was hoping for a bit more. I was, because that was always one of my big fears. It was like, you know, there's at least 10 dragons in this show. You know, we're going to have a dance of dragons probably in season 3, I imagine, or something. So it's got to fucking look good. But look, it's not bad. It's just not as good as I was necessarily hoping. I tell you what was good. Hot take number four, Gareth. Matt Smith is actually a fucking cool Targaryen. I thought his performance of Daemon was really cool. I really like his character.
Yeah. I reckon pre-Game of Thrones, a character like his would just be a massive bellend the whole time.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, that's kind of overriding feeling is that he's a bit of a dick, but there are enough moments in there that you get the sense that he's a real person with shades of grey. which is, you know, a very Game of Thrones thing. And he's not just existing to be a complete dickhead. Like, he might be a complete dickhead, but he's got real motivations, and there are some, like, at this point, it looks like he actually really does care about his niece. Like,
yeah, and that's good. And I know you've not read Fire and Blood, or you've read parts of it, but he does care about her. They actually, and I'm not spoiling anything, they have a very good relationship. And it's interesting because in Game of Thrones, you have this sort of idea that, you know, they even mentioned this episode that he's going to kill the king and take the throne for himself or something, right? Mm-hmm. And you'd think that Rhaenyra and Daemon are sort of, you know, don't like each other because they equally are a challenger to the throne. But that is not the case at all. And as this story develops, dear listeners, you will see how that shifts completely and how this story takes some very interesting turns and twists. I thought he was great. I think Lucy joked that he looks like he's a product of incest, Matt Smith, which is maybe a step too far from Lucy. Harsh but fair. And I will say, like, with the silver hair and, you know, jousting in the tourney, I was like, you know, and the cool art.
Did you know that most vitamin D3 supplements come from sheep's wool? I'm Kat, founder of Ritual. We're making traceability the new standard for the supplement industry. When I was pregnant, I couldn't find a multivitamin I could trust, so I created my own. Ours is made traceable, third-party tested, and clean label project certified. Oh, and our vitamin D3? It comes from sustainably harvested lichen from England, not sheep. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/podcast.
Armor, the dragon armor, I was like, this is fucking awesome. I was like, he's cool. He is a cool character.
Hold on. So I'm just trying to work out what you link to the incest thing is. Are you saying if he was your brother, you would get off with him still?
Yeah.
You would incest with him.
Look, mate, if I'm a Targaryen, incest is just par for the course. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
All right? So that's what I'm saying. If we were Targaryens, Gareth, me and you, we'd probably be getting off with each other. Now, you know, that is what it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, don't. Again, it's getting all the listeners excited.
Don't, listeners, sex position on the podcast for the listeners. I thought there was some really good stuff in here. Hot take number five.
I've got a hot take five.
Go on then.
I'm going to talk about one scene in particular.
Uh-huh.
That was really hard to watch.
Oh, yeah. That is actually my hot take five as well, Gareth. So good. It's funny.
I hope you've got a hot this take six then, because...
My squire, Sir Gareth, has been peering at my personal journals. little weasel.
Yeah, good.
Go on then, Sir Gareth.
I had a lordship.
Hot take five.
In the preview pod, what's happened?
Yeah, you did. You got demoted. Don't know how, but you did.
Yeah, I mean, having to choose between your wife and your unborn child, that was... brutal, and it was tough to watch, you know. I don't know whether it was tougher to watch given the fact that, you know, we've both relatively recently had kids bestowed upon us
by the grace of the gods.
Indeed. The old gods and the new. I don't know. I think I am a lot more sensitive to everything, actually, since that.
Oh, yeah. But, since that, I think that's fair to say that I was watching that scene, even though I was really appreciating how beautifully put together it was with the intercutting with the tourney stuff, which is a tourney for the heir, you know, the boy, the unborn baby. But yeah, man, I had to look away at points because it was just too much for me. I think it's a controversial scene, I think, to be honest, because
I can imagine so, yeah.
And it's kind of why we like Game of Thrones, because I'm not saying it's realistic, but it does paint, you know, the medieval type world in the way that it was, and it is very archaic, you know, in a lot of its practices and the way that they just kill people, and there's no pomp or song and dance about it. It just happens, you know. And it was too hard for me to watch in entirety. I winced away and looked away, which is something I don't usually do. So, yeah, you're not alone there. I do think it was a powerful scene, and tells us a lot about Viserys' mentality, especially the events afterwards.
Did we need to see it?
No,
I think you could have had the same impact just cutting
it makes me wince even just thinking about it now, you know. It was brutal, but yeah, you know, that's Game of Thrones. Like we said, it shows you things sometimes you think you don't need to see, but maybe, I don't know, it's a hard one. It was definitely the music and stuff I felt was brilliant, from Raymond Duarte in that scene. I'll put it on at the end of the episode, but yeah, I really, at the end of this podcast, I really liked the music and I liked the way it was constructed. I just, like you said, is it too much?
Yeah.
Is it too much? And I think, Gareth, this is the hot take that everyone wants to hear. Hot take number 6, the final hot take of this hot take podcast, hot take, is A Song of Ice and Fire Dream.
Mm.
What the actual fuck? I lost my shit when that was mentioned to Rhaenyra. Oh my god.
Mm.
That is, and look, this is a huge reveal,
yeah,
that completely shifts the paradigm of Aegon's conquest. Now, to my knowledge, that's not mentioned in any of the texts ever, anywhere.
I can't remember it either. Like, it was news to me, and like, I thought,
fucking hell, yeah.
I thought,
something
like that. I just wonder whether it's the sort of thing that could have slipped the net a little bit. Like, I'm trying to remember Daenerys's little, you know,
prophecies and
going
dreams
through the little house of the
now,
little,
yeah, yeah, fellas. We know that the Targaryens do possess the ability to prophesize. In terms of some of their dreams do come true. And the fact that they're saying here that Aegon didn't conquer Westeros just for shits and giggles and disputes. He actually did it because he's trying to save the realm of men in the future, because he has seen the Long Night. He has seen the White Walkers in his visions and the extermination of mankind.
Yeah. They have
fucking
no,
hell, crazy. Crazy.
They have no sense of a timeline on it either, do they? They're just like, this is
going to
happen.
No, he knows that it's going to happen in the future.
Let's just make sure that
we need to be ready.
Targs around the whole time, please.
Well, he and dragons.
Mm.
You know, it's that idea that the only thing that can stop this threat is a united Westeros, which is what Aegon essentially is trying to create, the Seven Kingdoms, and then dragons. And it's just, it's fucking baffling. I mean, there is going to be some interesting conversations in our in-depth podcast about that prophecy, and how it affects all of the kings. Knew this then, all of this information is passed down from king to heir apparent. So fucking hell, that is crazy stuff. It's just such the context now, like the Mad King knew this information in theory.
It makes you want to go back now, and like read his ramblings again and just
Yeah,
I wonder if there's a hint somewhere.
Mm. And this is what I mean. Like, we are very well versed in the books, read them multiple times, talked about them for fucking hours and hours and hours. Read Fire and Blood. I need to just do some more research for this in-depth podcast to see if there's any reference
to that.
Maybe
when he was,
you know,
banging on about burning them all. Maybe that's what he was talking about.
Yeah. Well, that's right.
Burn them all. And also, there must be a Targaryen on the throne. Sorry, what was that?
Do you remember how many mad theories we had for the Mad King? In our theory section, unbelievable. But obviously, listeners, if you can share any insight onto this, you can email us in. We will have some feedback. If you do write in, we'll mention your feedback on the pod. It's fancriticalpodcast@gmail.com. The email will be in the show notes. So let us know your thoughts on the dream of A Song on Ice and Fire. I just can't believe they even said that out loud, Gareth. I can't believe it. It was like Viserys almost just turned his head like 30 degrees and winked at the fucking camera after saying it. I was like, you are fucking shitting me.
You might also know it as Game of Thrones. Wink.
Bestseller. New York Times bestseller. fucking hell. Anyway, I mean, look, overall, Gareth, what were your thoughts? As a whole, did you like it? Are you happy to be back? Is this what you were hoping for?
Yeah. No, I'm glad. I'm glad it's back. I'm glad to be kind of back watching. You've said it a few times, like watching something I care about in a world that I care about. And I'm kind of really happy to have a show that I can watch once a week for a little bit.
Mm. It's
binge culture 10 weeks. Is too much. So I'm glad to have this. I haven't told you this actually, but I've just smashed through first season of The Boys in like 3 days.
Great show,
very good, but
bloody great show.
I'm now looking forward to having something a little more spaced out and scheduled for me. Very happy. Good initial kind of world building, character building.
I'm
pleased. What are your thoughts?
I was actually very pleasantly surprised. I thought I wouldn't really care about this show that much, but as time's gone on, I've really warmed to the idea of visiting this timeline, especially after reading Fire and Blood and the events of what happens. I think it's a fascinating story. I think this episode did a great job. I love the performances. I think the characters are very intriguing and interesting, very grey. There's lots silver. Of potential. Yeah, very silver. No purple eyes, though. You know, didn't happen. Very disappointing. I think it's a great start. I'm not going to give it my score just yet. That's going to be on the in-depth podcast later this week, which we'll be releasing in the next few days. I'll have to watch it a few more times and really get my head around it, but it's a strong start. I'd say, you know, just secretly I might give it a 4, you know, something like that, you know, just
I'm not going to tell you my score, but it's a 4.
There you go. I'm not going to tell you it, but it's a 4. And that's our hot take. You had 6 hot takes in there, lovely listeners, and I can tell you this right now, there's a lot to unpack in our in-depth review where we will be joined by other members of the pod, i.e. John, i.e. Emma, i.e. Lucy, who will all hopefully be back for that one. If not, you'll at least have 4 of us to chat through it. As I said, the in-depth review will be out in the next few days, releasing Wednesday here in Australia, where me and Gareth are currently based, Tuesday in the UK and the US. Mm. I want to thank
time difference.
Sir Gareth for keeping my wine cup topped off with Arbor Gold. Thank you very much.
I poisoned it when you weren't looking, so.
Unbelievable. So if I'm not here next week, you know who to, Sir Gareth.
Give me my lordship back.
And I want to thank all you dear listeners, our men and women of the realm. We will see you all again later this week. See ya. Bye.